This is Fresh Air. Photojournalist Sebastian Salgado spent 5 years traveling around the world, taking pictures of men and women who make their living doing backbreaking manual labor. He photographed in gold mines, coal mines, oil fields, sugarcane fields, ships, and factories. His new book, Workers, has just been published. An exhibition of those photos just opened at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. Art critic Edward Sazansky described it as an epic production that includes some of the most powerful and occasionally astonishing images that any photographer has produced. Salgado has received just about all the photojournalism awards you can get. He's Brazilian-born, and although he now lives in Paris, he's done much of his work in the Third World. Salgado's first career was as an economist. He never earned his living by doing backbreaking work. I asked what interests him in the people who do.
I believe that all things that you have here inside this studio is made in a factory, is made by a group of people that today we forget they exist, is working in class. But we forget a little bit about this working class, and we mind only about the services sector. And for me, when I went to photograph this, was to give a homage to this working class that for me was very, very important.
For me, the most amazing photographs in the work series are of the photographs of the gold mine in Brazil. And several people have compared these photographs to epic movies, like Cecil B. DeMille movies. I have to say, to me, it almost looks like the slave labor scenes of the Ten Commandments, where there's thousands and thousands of people. Would you visually describe what that mine looks like?
I tell you, the first day that I arrived to photograph this mine, when I arrived in the border of this mine, because it was not too big, it was about the size of a football stadium, or a little bit bigger than this, and I saw down about 50,000 persons work. To do this picture was necessary to go down in these stairs with the workers, to go in the same place of the workers were, to this place with them, to live inside. I spent there about 3 weeks, and I went in place inside this mine. I took many different shots in many different points, but I was way displaced more or less with the workers.
What did it sound like in the mine?
We had just human sounds. 50,000 persons speaking between them, working, and that's in a hole. And when we arrive at the border of this, you hear all the sound come up. And just some metallic instruments hitting the land, sometimes hitting a stone, and all this inside. For me, I made these pictures. I'm photograph probably end of a era, because many things are changing these pictures. But it would be incredible to register the sound of end of a year, because many of the sounds will disappear.
You have a series of photographs of the men putting out the oil fires in Kuwait after the Gulf War. The men who you photographed are completely covered in oil, and it almost makes them look like statues, because they almost look bronzed. Did they look almost unhuman to you while you were taking the pictures?
Oh no, the sun was covered by oil. Some days was not possible to see the sun. The whole earth was covered by oil. Smoke and air were burning. The planet was burning this month. And you have these people fighting very hard with big risk for their life, because you have many of these works that were burning. They're killed, burning, working on this. In this month, work closing for them, they were the most human persons that I never met, because they are saving the planet for us in some way.
What effect did it have on your cameras and your film to take pictures in an atmosphere that was filled with smoke from the oil fires?
Well, the films ended. The films react very well, no problem. But the cameras, I lose some cameras there, because I was completely covered by oil too sometimes. And my cameras get so many oil that to clean them, to clean the lens, was necessary to clean with petrol. And I have inside my photo bag 2 liters of petrol that was always cleaning cameras, cleaning lens, cleaning hand, cleaning the face. And a lot of this petrol went inside the cameras. And after this, the cameras were not more good. And 1 or 2 lens, they were deformed by the heat, by the fire. It was very close to photograph. And I have some deformation on them. But after Kuwait, it was necessary for me to change my cameras.
Were you frightened?
Sometimes were very special because we always work alone, displaced for one group working to the other. It was necessary to cross very close of this huge fires, the sound of very, very big, and the lakes of oil. And sometimes when I work in there, we had cars cross inside these lakes that ignite the oil. And they burn the cars, they burn the people. We had a photographer that were working together that day from Financial Times from London. With the journalists, they were crossing inside one of these lakes and the car ignited the fire and they was burning inside. It's just a small risk that you take there. And we had, middle of all this, a lot of tanks that were destroyed. I met some soldiers, Iraqi soldiers, that were killed in the middle of these fields. And they were abandoned, the bodies there. They were completely mummified by the oil. And it was a little bit a vision of the hell some moments. You know, some moments were very special, this. A lot of weapons abandoned anywhere. And it was very special, very, very special, this.
Do you still have the smell of the oil in your nose?
That I have.
What is the smell in your nose?
The smell is a very, very heavy, special smell. It's a smell of gas anywhere. And smoke, oil burn, and the oil don't burn completely. Some part burn, some don't burn. And you have this smell, you have the heat, and you have the rain of the oil. Same if you are not close of a well that's threw out a lot of oil. After the fire, you have a lot of rain of oil that come over you with the smell. It was very special. It's, if I must make the definition of the smell of the hell, probably this.
When you say something is very special, how do you mean that? Usually when you say something special, it means it's very good. Is that what you mean?
Something special, no, that means that it's very good. For us, the North, come from different culture. In Brazil, something special, that means something that you never lived before. Mm-hmm. Something very, very different for any others. That means that's not good, that's not bad. It's special.
Okay, like unique.
Yes, yeah. Absolute. It's unique is the word.
My guest is photojournalist Sebastian Salgado. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is photojournalist Sebastian Salgado. His new exhibition and book feature his pictures of workers.
You told me right before we started our interview that you've lost most of your hearing in one ear, and there's some frequencies that you can't hear in your other ear. Is that because all of the noise that you've been exposed to making
pictures? Big part of this lose was made in Kuwait, and because I had not, I forget to bring the things to protect my ears. And sometimes when they gave me one or two, put inside and take out a lot of oil, come inside this, and bring it to put a lot of oil inside your ears. And the end, I was not working with this, and it was a shame. Because now for me to hear, sometimes a little bit difficult. And that most of this come from there.
So this was from Kuwait?
Yes, big part was from Kuwait.
Were you very upset when you realized what had happened?
No. That's my profession, that's my work, that's a, say, it's a professional disease. It's okay, it's like this. I choose to be there, and if it was necessary to go there again, I will. Because for me it was, like you say, a unique experience. And very few persons had this experience in their life.
You grew up in Brazil.
Yes.
You were born there in 1944. You were trained as an economist.
Yes.
What kind of future did you see for yourself when you were studying economics? What did you think you were going to become?
Well, you know, it's quite different to be a student of economics in one country like Brazil and probably like here, because it was so necessary to have economists in Brazil. And like is until now, because the economic crisis is so huge, so big, social crisis very big, and the kind of economy that when I came inside the school in Brazil we were doing was macroeconomics, is to see the way to create big projects for employment, to see how was possible to get incentive for some kind of industry, place of the others, and create to create jobs, to create a new possibility to work, to live the better social life for the persons. But in a moment, I discover photography and I change my life. I begin to do pictures. But in reality, I don't change many things. My pictures are about the same, like my studies in economy and the work that I did in economy. García Márquez tells one very interesting thing. He tells that any writer writes new books, he always writes a new version of the same book. That means in the life you do about the same things always.
When you were coming of age, when you were growing up, was Brazil under military rule?
No, when I was growing up, Brazil were not. In 1964, when I had 20 years, Brazil came inside a huge military rule that stayed in the country until, in a very hard way, for 15 years, until 1979, when they gave a political amnesty. And this time, I came inside the college, and in this time, a big resistance for this military rule came out. Mainly for the students, for the workers.
You left Brazil in 1969. Why did you leave?
I left because my militants, my relations with the leftist groups that were contesting this military rule, and I had many of my friends that were with me, that were arrested, that were tortured, that were killed. And in this moment, the best idea was or to go complete to the clandestinity and go to the weapon in the hands and fight real. That was real, not very possible in this time because the situation was not real for this, or to go out of Brazil. And I went with my wife out of Brazil. And in 1979, they gave a political amnesty, and we came back of 11 years, 10 and a half years out of Argo.
When you moved to France in 1969, you were still an economist, and then you studied at the university in Paris.
Yes.
And then you continue to do economic work. What was the turning point for you from when you changed from economist to photographer?
You know, I was studying in Paris. I was doing the theories of a PhD, the theoretical studies for a PhD in economics. And my wife was doing studies of architecture. She's an architect. And she bought a camera to make pictures of architecture. And I discovered photography in this moment. My first pictures was 1970, when I look inside this camera and I begin to see the possibility to have a different relationship with the person that I was living with. And I begin to take some pictures. A few months later, I had a dark room, different lens, and photography made a real invasion of my life. Just 1971, I went to London to work in an international coffee organization, like economist. And I had the opportunity to make many different trips to Africa because we are working in economic development projects, made investment for diversification of the coffee plantations in Africa. And I bring this camera with me. And the cameras gave 10 times more pleasure than the economic report that was necessary to write when I came back to London. In 1973, I get the decision to put all beside, come back to Paris, begin my life of a reporter, because in France you have all these big agents of photography, and I begin my life of photographer.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Photojournalist Sebastian Salgado. His exhibition, Workers, is at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. His book, Workers, is published by Aperture. This is Fresh Air.